There it goes, it's going.
Well, I appreciate the kind words about the plans 11 years ago to work on this gem, as it's been described, rightly so. But first, let me tell you how I became a golfer. I started out as a baseball player, and every year with the Giants going to spring training, the players in between practices would go to the driving range, and I would walk over and watch these guys hit golf balls. Baseball player hitting a golf ball is sometimes a pretty ugly sight, but people like Willie Mays and Willie McCovey in particular would hit the ball in places that no one had ever walked before. Sorry about that phone. I don't know what to do about it. Okay. So I started to play as a result of going to spring training with the San Francisco Giants, and I never took a lesson. I just tried to teach myself, and that probably was a big mistake. Then I ended up out at Stanford, and the fellow out there, the head professional, Larry O'Neill, is a terrific teacher, and spent a lot of time just trying to help my swing. So my appreciation for the game of golf and understanding the beauty of the game and the joy of being out and being in pleasant surroundings and playing some of the great golf courses has always been a part of my appreciation of what golf is all about. Stanford has a nice collegiate golf course, and Tom Watson, as a Stanford graduate, was someone that also shared the passion for what a good golf course can do for a college or university community. And I suppose all of those experiences helped me to understand what was needed at Yale. So coming here 11 years ago, the golf course was bad. It was, I'm being kind, there were weeds on the tee. I went out to play with Dave Patterson and a couple other people, and I couldn't believe it, because I had heard about the Yale golf course, and walking around, and I too was shocked at the condition of the course. So new to the job, new to the challenges, not sure what all of the challenges were, I kept asking questions about the golf course. What were we doing with it? Why were we doing these kinds of things? And trying to understand the budgeting of it and what the cycle was in terms of the maintenance. And pretty soon it became clear that the university was forcing the athletic department to balance the books in ways that forced those that were in positions of authority to take resources away from certain projects. And clearly one of the areas that the university or the athletic department was forced to take resources from was the Yale golf course. So we slowly stopped the pilfering, if you will, of resources, and started to invest in the golf course. As slow as it was, there were some changes that were evident, and some work was clearly supported by alums that understood what we were trying to do. We didn't have a great deal of support. A lot of people were upset and had turned their back on the golf course and turned their back on the athletic department and said, look, you guys are running this thing amok, and we don't want to be party to anything like this. So it took us a while to gain the confidence of some influential alums. When you get people that are willing to step forward, that have the resources to help you, it just makes an enormous difference, because their support alone engenders the interest and support of others that come along with them. So that was a big, big step to get that kind of a support base. And from there, we made a couple of decisions in terms of hiring. We put a search committee together to hire our first superintendent. We had an interim superintendent, someone from the crew. Mike Moran had served in that capacity, and he wasn't comfortable in that job, didn't want it. And so we went about finding a superintendent. A committee recommended a fellow by the name of Tony Baviello, and Tony came on board. I thought came with a fair amount of skill and a great appreciation for the Yale Golf Course, but his skills as a supervisor in the climate in which Yale operates, it wasn't a good match. And we soon discovered that things were starting to unravel yet again. And the course was feeling it. And at the same time, we were ending up with difficulty, strayed relations, frayed feelings. People were having a very difficult time, both with labor and management at the golf course. Whether that's connected to Tony and his style or not, I'm not going to comment on that. I don't have enough information to do that. But nonetheless, we made a decision to change superintendents. And once again, we went to Mike Moran, and Mo wanted the job this time. He came and spoke to me a number of times, and so we felt that with the university and department support in terms of resource allocation and trying to correct the feelings or address the concerns of the crew, for them to see someone rising from their ranks to the position of management, we felt that this might be a message that we want to create a team, and that team we want to work together for the betterment of golf at Yale, and clearly for the improvement of conditions at the Yale Golf Course. As we went along, Mike really started to feel the strain of leadership in this position, and within a short period of time asked to return to the crew. He wanted to remove himself from the ranks of the supervisor. And so here we are, we're trying our level best to get the golf course on its feet, and we've been staggering after each step and stumbling, trying to get the right people at the right time. And I just felt, I didn't know where to go. I was really struggling, because my own personal desires were being challenged by these strange coincidences. I couldn't figure out what was going on. Why
was conspiracy?
What was happening, and why was this happening to me, or why was this happening to the Yale Golf Course? Is there something out there that is just saying, you're not going to fix me? I don't care what you do, you just aren't going to fix me. Well, another committee came together to try and find a superintendent, and we've been blessed. We have found an absolute superstar. Scott Ramsey is nothing short of a miracle worker, and as we continue to invest, that philosophy never changed. we stayed true to the notion that we're going to invest in the golf course, whether the golf course wants it or not. It's going to get resources. And lo and behold, things kept coming together slowly, but they kept coming together, and then we just absolutely exploded with joy and progress with Scott Ramsey's genius. And we continue to get alumni support. An endowment has been created. We're adding to the endowment. The fund for the endowment is to benefit the golf course solely. We received another blessing in that the vice president of the university, John Pepper, came on the scene after serving as a senior fellow of the Yale Corporation. He understood the issues of labor and management, having been the CEO of Procter & Gamble, brought those skills to Yale, saw the challenges at the Yale golf course, management, labor, and said, I want to help. We want to make the Yale golf course the poster child for management and labor success. Well, God bless him. He has been our guardian angel at the Yale golf course along with Scott Ramsey. And John Pepper single-handedly helped to bring about change in terms of how labor and management work together. We've created an understanding and a working agreement at the golf course, second to none, and possibly the entire history of labor management strife at Yale, and John Pepper has done it. Bob Proto, who is the union leader, has been extremely helpful in working to get things accomplished at the golf course. We are now permitted to hire students up there to work on projects like raking bunkers and doing the difficult mowing around those bunkers, where you have the skilled labor of the golf course handling the more difficult challenges. And all of this has resulted in a vastly improved Yale golf course. The playability, the beautification, has, I guess, come to fruition as we hosted the NCAA Eastern Regional this past May at the Yale golf course, and it was a spectacular success. The grand old lady, the Yale golf course, stood the test of the talent of these young lions and this modern technology, as I think the score, the winning score, was posted by Billy Haas from Wake Forest. He was 2 under. The other three regionals in the United States, the collegiate regionals, the average score at the other three was somewhere in the high teens, low 20s, under par.
Is that right?
Our score, 2 under, with one other person being under par, the young man from Rhode Island.
Right.
No one could possibly expect that. And as a result, Yale has been asked to put in bids for future regionals and asked to be part of the discussion for a potential collegiate national championship somewhere in the near future. So my involvement in this project, albeit a short period of time, a decade, give or take, has been an up and down experience, but I think where we are today is a period of time where I'm proud to have been at Yale. I'm proud to have something, my fingerprint somewhere on this golf course project. Certainly the the help of the university and the incredible folks that are at the golf course in terms of their leadership and support. And then a very generous and grateful group of alums that said, we'll put our shoulders to the wheel also.
Now, have you seen what he's done this winter?
I have.
What do you think of that?
I was astounded. Absolutely astounded. It, to me, it's a breath of fresh air. You can see the beauty of the place.
Well, again, it's a big golf course again.
Right. It's beautiful.
And some of the vista views look very reminiscent of the 1920s photograph.
Bill said it best. This guy's a genius.
Absolutely.
And I worry every season that somebody's going to come in and take him. New Haven was looking for a superintendent, and Charlie Pagnon is their president. Called me one day and said he wanted to talk about their superintendent's position. And I said, no, you do not have permission.
Good.
And he said, no, I'm not calling. I just want to talk to him about other candidates. So.
Well, from my conversations with him, I don't think he's pulling my leg. He wants to end his career there.
Wow. Well, he's certainly making a name for himself. And he's a smart guy, knowing that the condition of the Yale golf course, being what it was when he was hired, he is a genius because he has vision. Not only does he have vision for the golf course, he had vision for himself. Because he's the one that gets the credit for restoring the majesty of this golf course. So he is a genius, a visionary, and not only for the golf course, but he saw that this potential was there, and boy, is he...
And the esprit de corps, yep, of his people, they don't act like the same people. They are so enthusiastic and so excited.
The beauty of the place has empowered them to do more. And I think it's contagious, and boy, what a beautiful thing to see.
I wonder, when people are successful like Scott, I mean, it's one of the dilemmas of success. I mean, the more successful you are, there's a certain, if not price, at least challenge that comes with it. One being other places would be interested in somebody of that stature. But are there other, I mean, thinking ahead, now that the course is really back, turned around and becoming prominent, are there other sort of dilemmas that you have to anticipate, say, as athletic director with overall responsibility for what, to keep the course playable and the like?
I mean, well,
the multiple challenges of running
the
golf team, running
visitors. It appears to me the word is getting out already. The people coming to play that would have never come to play.
Well, if you listen back to your history of the students trying to get tee times at that golf course that was at Albertus Magnus,
right,
that's a challenge that we're realizing now. The students want to play more, the faculty want to play more, the membership wants to play more, people want to bring events to the Yale golf course. So the challenge is maintaining all of this and keeping the course in the beautiful condition that it is in, and then trying to take that next step. Scott wants to advance the course. He just doesn't want to maintain the golf course. And that, to me, is the beauty of a leader, that maintaining something isn't merely the challenge of advancing something. It's hard to do, but people want challenges. So we want people to play the golf course, we want people to enjoy the beauty of the place, we want to keep investing in it, and we also want to try and figure out what is next. Can we put another nine holes up there? Can we put another 18 holes up there. What would that mean? What would we be able to do? Would that take away from the Seth Rainer, C.B. McDonald gem that we have that we've restored? What is the answer to that? I think it's fascinating, and I enjoy.
It's a much happier dilemma than the one you had 11 years ago.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
I also wanted to ask, I mean, you were at Stanford, which is not only a good course, it's one of the finest university courses in the country. And so now when you look back, how do you compare the two, not in terms of the course themselves, but the place, say, that the golf course plays within the athletic department, the athletic program, and the university? Mm-hmm. Are there differences between the Stanford course within the Stanford community and the Yale course?
Stanford's challenged, interestingly enough, by the geography of their course and the challenges of expanding their campus. The trustees just recently took over their driving range at the golf course. And you talk about a very tough decision. That was a spectacular teaching area, a spectacular practice area. We were able to put lights in there so that people could come after work during the winter months and practice, get lessons. And Tiger Woods, Tom Watson, others that are professionals affiliated with Stanford and Stanford Golf begged the university to not do this. They didn't have any choice. Stanford also lost a portion of the golf course. They lost a green and a tee to the city of Menlo Park because the city needed to expand a particular roadway, so they had to redesign holes 3 and 4 at Stanford. So they've had their challenges. Clearly, the Yale golf course, being in the situation that we're in, 700 acres, that we now have this spectacular 18-hole layout on 500. What is it?
Maybe you don't know this.
I don't.
We just have discovered this. For years, I was told this was designed for 36 holes. And when I would say to people, well, show me, nobody could show me. We finally have found the original 36-hole layout.
Wow.
And sadly, we have also discovered that second 18 was on land that shouldn't have been done, but Yale sold it to real estate developers and their houses on it now.
Wow.
So that land is lost.
No kidding.
So the land that connected the course to the Yale Bowl.
And there has to be at least one or 200 acres in there that was sold off.
Wow,
so it isn't 700 acres anymore. It's more like
500
acres.
Wow.
And at least a good many of those acres are so much ledge that
the original was pretty bad too.
Yeah, but anyway, but there's no longer 700 acres.
How about that?
But
there's still enough land to do another 18 or another 9 anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm told.